weird. Some days you're okay and you're doing just fine. Other days it still hurts like it's fresh. It's a process with no definitive time frame. You just have to keep going and know that when all is said and done, you're going to be okay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity, the podcast where we explore the raw, unfiltered reality of living as a neurodivergent person in a world that often struggles to understand us. Today I want to talk about something that is deeply personal, something that has shaped me in ways I would never have expected, and that is the trauma of abuse. Specifically how abuse affects those of us who are neurodivergent, why it can be so difficult to recognize and escape, and what healing really looks like when your brain processes the world differently. If you've ever felt trapped in a cycle of manipulation, of gaslighting or emotional control, if you've ever struggled to make sense of how someone could hurt you while claiming they love you, then maybe this episode is for you. Abuse is rarely obvious, at least not at first, as if it were, we wouldn't fall into it so easily. For neurodivergent people, it can be even more insidious. Why? Because many of us struggle with interpreting social cues, identifying manipulation, and even trusting our own perceptions. I spent years in an emotionally and physically abusive relationship. And looking back, I can see the red flags now, but at the time, I rationalized them. I assumed I was the problem. When my abuser twists my words, when they use my need for structure and clarity against me, when they made me feel like I was too difficult, too much, too broken, I believed them. Because that's the thing about abuse. It's not just about physical harm. It's about control. It's about reshaping reality until you no longer trust yourself. For someone like me, someone who already struggles with rejection sensitivity, dysphoria, that kind of control is devastating. Neurodivergent people often experience the world in extremes. We feel deeply, we process intensely, and we struggle with grey areas. We crave honesty, consistency, and stability. But abusers, they thrive in chaos. They keep you unsteady, uncertain, and always doubting. For me, my neurodivergence made me an easy target. I didn't recognize the manipulation because I took things at face value. I believed words over actions because my brain is wired for logic, for structure. And when they told me over and over that I was the difficult one, I accepted that as fact. But here's what I know now. Abusers seek control, not connection. They don't want understanding, they want power. And when you're someone who just wants to be understood, to feel safe, it's incredibly easy to fall into their trap. Leaving an abusive relationship is not just about walking away. It's about untangling yourself from years of conditioning. It's about learning to trust your own perceptions again. For a long time, I felt like I was rebuilding myself from the ground up. My sense of self had been so shattered that even basic decisions, what I liked and what I wanted, felt impossible. The hardest part? People didn't see it. They saw me functioning. They saw me excelling. They saw me handling situations with logic and precision. And they saw me keeping it together. Whilst inside, I was drowning. Healing has been messy. Some days I feel strong. Other days I fall back into old patterns of doubt and self-blame, and that's okay, as healing is not linear. Leaving my abuser nearly cost me my career within the ambulance service, as they used my need for structure, clarity, and truth as a way of weaponizing my own neurodivergence and my own brain against me for their own gain. They sought to use my weaknesses for their power. It was used to manipulate the community around us. People that at the time I considered to be friends, I was now isolated from. I felt trapped in the village that I grew up in. I could no longer go for a walk in the village. I couldn't go to my local pub. I still can't go to my local pub. And in order to continue with my life, I moved 120 miles away from everybody I know to start again fresh. It's been difficult. For a long time, I spent time building myself from the ground up. My sense of self had been so shattered that even basic decisions, like what I like, what I want, as I said, it feels impossible. The hardest part was people didn't see it. I wouldn't let them. For me, projecting calm is more important than letting people see my weakness. But how did I move forward? How do we reclaim ourselves after the abuse? For me, it came down to a few things. Recognizing my worth. I'd like to say I'm not difficult. I am. But I don't think I'm too much. I can be at times. But I'm certainly not unlovable. I'm wired differently, but I'm learning that is not a flaw. I surround myself with the right people, or I try to. There are plenty of people who support me without conditions, who don't use my new neurodivergence against me, who encourage my growth rather than fear it, and learning to trust myself again. This has been the hardest part. Every day I remind myself that my experiences are valid, that my emotions are real, and that I do deserve to feel safe. And I've learned that healing doesn't mean forgetting. It means carrying the lessons forward without letting them define me. Making a mistake is easy. Repeating that mistake is easy. Doing the same actions over and over again, hoping for a different outcome, that's the definition of insanity. My final thoughts on this, if you are listening to this, if you're still in that place, if you're doubting your reality, if you feel trapped, if you're struggling to see a way out, please know that you are not alone. There are many people out there in the exact same situation. I would also like to stress, both male and female. But I see you, I believe you, and you deserve better. Nobody deserves to be treated as less than. But that's it for today's episode of Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. If this has resonated with you, if you have a story to share, or you just need to know that someone out there understands, please reach out. You don't have to go through this alone. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. If you can, leave a review. It does help this podcast reach more people who need this conversation. But until next time, take care of yourself and remember, you are not broken. You are surviving and you will heal.
Did you know that narcissistic abuse actually causes brain damage in the victims? Let me explain it to you here. When you're with a narcissist, they stress you out. Duh, that's a given. The stress hormone in your body is called cortisol. Your cortisol level in your body over time raises to such an astronomical level that if it was spread over to 2 to 3 people, it would still be considered high for those 3 people, but it's all within you. That high cortisol level is going to actually cause your hippocampus to shrink. Your hippocampus is the part of your brain that's in charge of your short-term memory and your decision-making. It's also going to swell your amygdala, which is in charge of your primal emotions. You know, the fears, the anxieties, the guilt, the lust, the shame, all of that. It's going to swell it up, so it's going to make it hyperactive. So you're going to be in a constant state of survival mode. This is what's anatomically happening biologically in your brain. You're not crazy.